Vavakama, Tzadi Tesim with Beis, Kufam and Aleph, is the sugya of what we would call malpractice. The sugya actually has two parts. The first part, Tzadi Tesim with Beis, Tabach Uman Shekilkel, a shochet, an expert shochet, or it talks about a non-expert shochet as well, shechts an animal, causes it to become a nevela, he causes damage to the property of his client. Other types of workers who do their job incorrectly and cause damage to the property of their clients, their employers. Gemara has a discussion about the conditions under which they're chayef. Second part of the sugya, mara dinar l'shulchani, someone, the client, shows a dinar, or a coin, to the shulchani, the money changer. He's supposed to be an expert in assessing the value of money. He gives him an appraisal of the coin as being good, as being worth what he expects it to be. The client then accepts it, turns out it's a bad dinar, and he's unable to recoup the loss. So again, the error of judgment, this is white-collar malpractice, the error of judgment by the shulchani also causes a loss to the client. That's the Gemara begins and the end of Tzadi Tesim, and Nafkuf, the discussion of when, under what conditions, the shulchani is chayav for misappraising the dinar. These two sugyas have some connection, but they're somewhat distinct in the Gemara, so we'll discuss them somewhat independently. First, the sugya of Tabach Uman Shekilkel, and then the sugya of Mara Dinar L'Shulchani. So with regard to a shochet, Tabach Uman Shekilkel, the Gemara brings a machlokes tanam and amarayim, whether the shochet is always chayev, or whether it depends on whether he's being paid. When he's paid, he has a higher level of responsibility. B'schar, he's chayev, and b'chinam, he's pater. We paskin, like the more lenient view, at least lenient from the perspective of the shochet, of the tabach, that although if he's a hedyot, if he's an ordinary shochet, not an expert, he's always chayev, it's always his fault and he's always chayev. If he's an uman, if he's a mumche, if he's an expert, then if he did it b'chinam, if he did it for free as a favor, then he's pater. If he did it b'schar, if he was paid for it, he took money for it, then he's chayev, he has a higher level of responsibility, then he's chayev, even though he's an uman. That is how we paskin. There's another sheet to that again, that an uman is always chayev, but we paskin, an uman is chayev b'chinam and pater b'schar. The question is, what is the p'tur of an uman who does it b'schar? Why is he pater? After all, there is a klal adam mod la'olam, that when it comes to direct damage, when a person breaks a window, destroys somebody's property, we say adam mod la'olam, shogeg, onus, you're always chayev, even onus is chayev. So why is what is the p'tur of Levidan, the way we pass again, the p'tur of Tabach Uman Shekilkel, that at least b'chinam is pater, why is he pater? B'schar is chayev, but b'chinam is pater, why is he pater? So there are at least five different explanations given in various Rishonim and Achronim. In the Rishonim, the most prominent explanation is that of Tosfos. Shitas Tosfos here in the Sugya, as well as earlier in Bava Kama, is that even though we say Adam Mod La'olam, and even onus, not all onsim, there are degrees of onus, it's not just binary, onus and shia, there are actually degrees. Tosfos says there are four degrees, there's posheya, there's absolute negligence, where even a shomer chinam is chayev, there's gneva and aveda, which are two middle madregas, where a shomer chinam is pater, a shomer sachar is chayev, there's onus gomor, which is beyond that, it's even less his fault, even a shomer sachar is pater. Tosfos says when we say adam mod la'olam, we mean that he's chayev not just for negligence, but he's even chayev for what he calls onus kein aveda, an onus which is has a certain degree of which is somewhat negligent. Kein aveda is somewhat negligent. That's why a shomer sachar is chayev, and therefore, even that kind of onus is chayev. But an onus gomer, certainly an onus that a shomer sachar is pater for, even onus kein aveda, which a shomer sachar is chayev for, that's the third level counting from complete negligence. Pshia is the most negligent, onus kein aveda is number two, onus kein aveda is number three, a shomer sachar is still chayef for that, but a mazik is pater. So according to Tosfos, a mazik is not chayef for all onsim, he's not chayef for onus gomer, for absolute onus, he's not even chayef for onus kein gneva, which is almost completely an onus. What he's chayef for, besides regular pshia, he's also chayef for onus kein gneva, and in our Gemara, we're talking about where it was not that level of onus, and therefore that is the p'tur of the Tabach Uman Shekilkel, as long as he did it b'chinam, if he did it b'schar, then he's chayev. Some posts can say the chiyuv is, because then it becomes mazik, then the expectation we have is a higher standard. We'll return to that question a little bit later. But the p'tur of chinam for an uman is because it's a form of onus for which even adam mazik is pater. Other Rishonim disagree. Other Rishonim, the Ramban notably, hold that Adam Moed La'olam is literally Pshuto K'mashmo, Adam is Chayav for all onsim, there are no different levels of onus, Adam is Chayav for every type of onus. So then we have to look for another explanation. So what is the p'tur of Tabak Shekilkel B'chinam, Uman Shekilkel B'chinam, what is the p'tur? So there are at least four other explanations in the poskim. Some of the Bali Tosfos, the Riva says that the p'tur is the p'tur in our case, in certain other cases, the p'tur of Adam HaMazik. In some cases, we find in Shas, Tosfos has numerous examples of cases where Adam HaMazik seems to be p'tur, Tosfos says, because that's enough of an onus that even Adam is p'tur. But the Riva says a different p'tur. The Riva says the p'tur is Adam HaMazik, the paradigm of Adam HaMazik only applies when two people have no relationship. When someone is working for somebody else, when someone is authorized to handle the property in question and he's doing something for the benefit of the property owner, the category of mazik does not apply. We have to apply other categories like shomer, custodianship, and negligence, but not adam mazik no longer applies once he is osa b'shel chavero l'tavaso with authorization. Now, the Riva himself doesn't go as far as the Ramban. Chazon Ish points out, the Riva himself seems to agree that onus gomer, at least the fourth madrega, pure onus, is patra, like Tosis. He doesn't go as far as the Ramban. He just feels that bein onus kein gneva, bein onus kein aveda. He has a broader definition of the onus for which a mazik is chayev, and therefore he has a different explanation of why the uman is patra here, because of osa b'shel chavero, b'rishos, l'tavaso. But this is Mahalach number two, that we can say it for the Ramban as well. Some Achronim suggest this could be shown on the Ramban as well, that someone who's osa with authorization for the benefit of somebody else, the category of mazik does not apply. We have other categories that apply, shomer. And a shomer, as we know, a shomer, it depends on the level of negligence. Shomer chinam, shomer sachar. That's why the Gemara is Mahalach between b'chinam and b'schar. But this is reason number two, mazik does not apply because he's osa b'rishus and he's osa l'tovas, the client. There's a third approach. Perhaps this is just another way of saying onus, perhaps not. The Rush, and the Sma brings this, the Rush says that when someone is an Uman, we assume that it was he shouldn't have made this mistake. It's unexpected. How did this happen? We say mazlo garam, the mazel of the client, the mazel of the property owner was garam. It's his bad luck. We attribute it to his bad fortune, and therefore it's not the responsibility of the shochet. Obviously, if the shochet was negligent, then he can't blame it on the mazel of the client. It's his negligence. But if he's an uman, and it's very surprising if something would go wrong, we say it must be the mazel of the balabais. The Gemara uses the language of mazel of garam in various sugyas. It's very unclear exactly what this svara is in a chashon mishpat sense, in a civil law sense. It may possibly be another way of saying onus. It's somewhat interchangeable, but this is the language of the Rush and the Sma, that the p'tur of Uman, when he's osa b'chinam, is because mazlo garam, it's the mazel of the client. There's a fourth approach. Avinezer suggests an approach. Avinezer says, he brings a raya from a Gemara, that when two people have a relationship, we already mentioned the svara of the Riva, that when two people have a relationship, we say there's no din mazik. Avinezer gives a somewhat different hesber, not just because that's a halacha in mazik, that there's no din mazik when he's osa b'rishus. Avinezer says that when someone accepts the commission to do work, implicit in that is that he will not be liable as a mazik. Implicit in his agreement to do the work, in their mutual understanding he's going to do the work, is that he's going to hold him exempt from mazik unless it's his fault, unless he's poshe, in which case he's going to be chayev. But that because they had an agreement, the agreement is what an agreement to do work and an agreement to authorize him to handle the property, that itself consists of a tacit and implicit indemnification by the client of the worker for anything that goes wrong, unless he's at fault. So the din mazik doesn't apply because it was a voluntary contractual waiver by the baal bayis, by the property owner, when he started to do the work. A fifth approach is the Mishnah Melech. Several of these approaches come up in the discussion, several of the ones we mentioned, and this Mishnah Melech come up, the Machne Ephraim, in the context of the Shita the Ravid. There's an interesting machlokus between the Rambam and the Ravid, that a woman who's doing malacha, a married woman who's doing malacha, and she breaks something that belongs to the husband. So the Rambam says that he is pater because it's a takana, because otherwise there won't be shalom bayis. If he's going to be going, the husband goes after her for everything she does wrong, it'll lead to a breakdown of shalom bayis. Ravid says, no, you're pater meikra din, she's patura meikra din, because it is shmira b'ba'alav. There's a halacha that a shomer, a custodian, is not chayav if it was ba'alav imo, in ba'alav imo lo yishalem. if the owner of the property was imo b'malachto, was in the service of the property owner at the time of the Sheila we passed, in the time the Shmira began, then the Shomer has no liability. So the rabbit says that there's a patur here of Shmira b'balam, Ikra din, the laws of Shomer do not apply, the Isha, the married woman, the wife, cannot be held liable as a Shomer, as a Shomeres, because there is Baal Avima. So we shouldn't discuss whether the husband-wife relationship is really Baal Avima or not, but there's another issue here. Baal Avima applies when you're dealing with Shomerim. She's an Adra Mazik. She's washing dishes. She drops a dish on the floor. So why isn't that Adra Mazik? She broke a dish. She dropped it. She smashed it against the counter. Adra Mazik, there's no Pashtas, almost all the posts can agree, there's no Patur of Baal Avima and Adra Mazik. So the Akronim give different explanations. So the Machne Ephraim has an approach that Mazik is only when you actively break something. But if you're handling property and due to your negligence something happens, it slips out of your hand, or the behemoth Aragamari says wriggles and then the knife causes the knife to perform an improper shechita, that's not mazik, he says. You didn't do it, even though it happened while you were involved. He talks about niskal, the Gemara talks about somebody tripping and dropping something when he's carrying it as a worker, as a shomer, whether he's chayev or not. The Gemara talks about whether he's a pasheya or not a pasheya. What happened to Adma Mazik? Rishonim asked the question, what happened to Adma Mazik? Nachman Ephraim says this principle, that Adma Mazik is when you actively break something, but when you simply fumble something and it falls or the thing wriggles out of your hand, that is not Adma Mazik. We have to apply the Klolim of Shomer. This is a big Kiddush. It's not called Adma Mazik. This is what the Machan Ephraim suggests to explain Shana the Rabbit, to explain our Gemara. He says if the Behemoth was Pirchasa, if the Behemoth wriggled and leaped, and then it's not Adma Mazik. So therefore, that would be why the Uman is Pater, as long as he's Ose Bechina. So in summary, as we've said, we have five different approaches, some of them are similar to each other, but five different approaches for why Uman is Pater, at least Bechinam. Tosis' approach that he's an Ones, similar to that, the Rush and the Smas say Mazlo Garam, it wasn't his fault, it was the Mazel of the client, of the property owner. Then we have the Riva, who says that the whole category of Mazik doesn't apply anytime your involvement with the property is Bershus. Avinezer has a similar approach. Avinezer says that When he asked you to work, when you agreed that you would work on the property, there's a tacit indemnification of you, the worker, from the Dine Mazik, unless you're Poshea. And finally, we have the Machan Ephraim, who says that if you don't break it directly, if the behemoth wriggles, if you fumble something and it falls out of your hand, that's not considered Adra Mazik at all. And therefore, we can only be done for other things, for Shomer. So that's why the Uman Bechinam is Pater. Nevertheless, the Uman Beschar is Chayev, and the Hedyard is always Chayev. There's always apparently a presumption that it's his fault. The Hedyard is always Chayev. When the Gemara makes this distinction between Uman and Mumcha, as opposed to Hedyard, the Gemara says there was a certain case, somebody damaged an animal, so he said, bring a Raya that you're a Mumcha. What does it mean that you're a Mumcha? So the Achronim in Yerdeya, the Marshal and the Shach in Yerdeya bring that he has to have shechted three times successfully. They talk about three times birds, three times this type of animal, that type of animal, three successful shechitas is enough to establish you as an expert. What does that mean in practice? The Pesach Hoshen discusses a watchmaker. If he fixes three watches, does that mean he's an expert? The watch has different parts. Maybe it was the mainspring, maybe it was the battery, maybe it was something else. You know, watches have all kinds of different aspects. Is it really true that as long as three customers brought him in three watches and he fixed three watches, that's enough to make him a mumcha? That seems debatable. So the Pesach Hoshen is not really sure in practice and in malpractice in general, what do you need to be called a mumcha? But in any event, that's the basic distinction of the Gemara. A hedyard is always chayev. A mumcha and uman is potter if he did a bechinam. But if he accepted schar, then he is chayev. Most malpractice cases are going to involve schar. Workers typically, experts, you know, typically do things for beschar. If someone asks you for a favor to help, you know, come over to my house, help me with my computer, maybe that would be bechinam. But in general, when we think of malpractice, we're typically thinking of schar. So this whole discussion of why in Uman is Pater that we had is relevant if he did a bechinam. But beschar, he's going to be Pater, he's going to be chayiv anyway. Furthermore, in the course of the Gemara says that even one of the brises the Gemara brings, it says that the Machlokas Tanaim about the Ptur of an Uman, and even the Shita that says Pater, says it's a Chiyah B'dinei Shemayim, so that's some of the Achronim say, and Rabina says that it's Pashut. Whenever we talk about the Ptur of an Uman, we're talking about the Ptur B'dinei Adam, but B'dinei Shemayim, there's always going to be a Chiyah. Second part of the sugya is Mara Dinu L'Shulchani. So again, the Gemara has a case where somebody shows a coin to a Shulchani asking him if it is good, and the Shulchani says yes, so he accepts it, and then it turns out it's bad, and he can't go back to the guy who gave it to him. That guy disappeared. He's not in a position to get his money back. So the halacha is, here also the Gemara brings a stira, whether you chayiv or potter, and the Gemara says the chiluk is, whether the Gemara does not say anything about whether it was b'schar or b'chinam. It says that an ordinary money changer is chayiv. If he's a very expert money changer, like two prominent money changers named Danku v'Isser, who have nothing left to learn, lo tzrich l'migmar, they know everything about money changing, then they're considered completely uman, super uman, then they are potter. Why doesn't the Gemara say the chiluk here between schar and chinam? The Gemara makes no mention of it. So Tosfos says, and this is generally accepted by the poskim, that when it comes to re'iyas hametbeyas, when it comes to examining money, nobody has any business relying on his umnus unless he's really, really expert. It's a difficult and fraught thing to do. So any uman is chayev, bein b'chinam, bein b'schar. Here everyone agrees that all umans are chayev unless you reach the level of danku v'iser. Once you reach the level of danku v'iser, then you can be potter if you're on that level. But an ordinary uman, certainly a hedir, but even an ordinary uman in the case of money changing is chayev, bein b'schar, bein b'chinam. Danku v'iser are potter. Are Danku v'Isser Chayev B'Schar, at least? Just like an Uman in the case of the Shochet, he says, even if he's an Uman, B'Schar, he's Chayev. So is an Uman who's the really high level of Uman, the Danku v'Isser level of Uman, as a Shulchani, would he be Chayev if he took Schar? So this is a Machlokas. Many Rishonim say yes. The Rambam says yes, and other Rishonim, Harbim and Mefarshim say yes as well. The Magen Mishnah says, the Rashba says Potter. The Rashba says that an Uman like Danku v'Isser, in the case of money changing, are Potter even Bishar. The Rashba says, even though the previous Gemara about Tabachum and Shekilkel explained that Bishar is Chayev, because then we say you're a little bit at fault, that's when it has to do with umnus biyadayim. He says umnus that you work with your hands and you slipped up, and if you took schar, you should have been more careful, and then you're chayev. However, the Rashba says when we talk about riyas hamatbeis, the language of the Rashba is that he says uman b'umnus biyadayim, even uman abaki could make a mistake, even tavchad etzipari. The Gemara gives that as an example of expert shochtim could make a mistake. They have to be very, very careful. So they're not known as gomer. If they took schar, they're chayev. Riyas hamatbeis, he says, something that depends on judgment, he says, once you've reached sufficient expertise, like Danku v'Isser, he says, then there's no room for error. Danku v'Isser, there's no error. If there was an error, then it's just something which is ones gomer. And then you potter, even if it was done b'schar. So many Rishonim go with the Rambam, Harbim and Mefarshim. Most poskim perhaps go like this, that even with Riyas HaMatbeah, even Danku v'Isser, if this Schar, this Chayev. However, the Shach seems to incline toward this view as well. However, there is a sheet to the Rashba, and the Chabetzel Zasharon says you can say Kimli like the Rashba, the Marshal goes like the Rashba, that when it comes to Riyas HaMatbeah, you reach the level of Danku v'Isser, the supreme expertise, even B'Schar, you're going to be potter. And some posts can understand that this idea of Bishar being potter applies to what we can call white-collar malpractice in general. That doesn't depend on manual dexterity, it depends on judgment. The Chavetzel Sasharon has a tshuva. Chavetzel Sasharon talks about a case, a person was interested in buying a Sefer Torah, a used Sefer Torah. He asked a sofer to appraise it, to assess it. Is it good quality? If there are problems, are they fixable? So the sofer said that it could that it was good, that there were certain things that needed to be fixed, but it would not be expensive. 60 marks, you can fix it. So he bought the Sefer Torah, and then it turned out the problems were much more grave, that the fixing would be very expensive. So Chavetzel Sharon discusses two questions. Mechachtos, can he get his money back from the seller? Or can he, if he can't for some reason, can he charge the sofer for malpractice, for like Maradin L'Shulchani, for misassessing the value of the Sefer Torah and causing him a loss? So the Chavetzel Sasharon ultimately says that we have the sheet of the Rashba and the Marshal. The Rashba and the Marshal say that once the sofer reaches a certain level, that once the money changer reaches a certain level of expertise, Danku v'Isser, even B'Schar is potter. So even if the sofer was paid, he says, according to the Rashba, you'd be potter. The sofer can say Kimli like the Rashba. And in general, white-collar malpractice, which at least malpractice which depends on judgment, once you're considered an expert, he says, he doesn't define exactly what an expert is, but once you're considered an expert, he says, even b'schar, you're potter. So an artisan who's doing manual work is going to be chayav b'schar, but someone who's doing white-collar work, work which depends on judgment, then he says you're going to be potter if you're an expert, even b'schar, even though most rishonim say you're chayav, but you can say kimli, like the minority opinion, like the Rashba and the Marshal, that you're potter if it was done, even if it was done b'schar. Furthermore, he says, even though Tosus says money changing, we need a tremendous level of expertise, danku v'isser, the greatest people of their generation who had nothing left to learn, he says, but that doesn't apply to things like a sofer. He says that money changing, Tosus says, is a particularly fraught exercise, and only real experts should do it. However, examining a sefer Torah doesn't require that level of expertise. The Chavetz Chaim's language is Dafka Matbea, he says, but sofer, as long as he's sofer mumcha and muchsuk, as long as he's an established, competent sofer, he can say kimli like the Rashba, that even though he did a bischar, he is potter. Again, back to the Pesach Hoshen, he doesn't define exactly what an expert is, but he has a great chiddush that even once we assume he's an expert, he'll even be potter bischar, because it'll be the Rashba, that white-collar things are different from manual things, dexterity things, and physical things, that maybe white collar is not the right word, but you know, but judgment things or mental things are different from physical things. Physical things which require manual skill and dexterity, and uman b'schar is chayev. However, judgment things like shulchani or matbeah, the Chalas Yelis Hasharim says, following this Rashba, that even b'schar, he's going to be potter. There is a comment of the Ksos HaChoshen. The Ksos HaChoshen seems to assume that the money-changing rule that you have to be as expert as Danku v'Isser is not limited only to Shulchani. He talks about a machlokas rishonim about a dayan. It's a very complicated sugya about a dayan who issues an erroneous ruling and causes a loss to one of the parties. The money can't be recovered. Very, very complicated sugya. The rishonim have different reasons. In certain cases, the dayan's patur, and the rishonim have different explanations why. Some rishonim say it's like the patur of uman, that he's an onus. Other Rishonim say it's different, it's because he was in the Kabbal of the Dayan, and that involves an indemnification. But the question is, there's Machlokes Rishonim, whether we can apply the Ptur of Uman, at least Bechinam, that he's Pater Ba'onis. So the Ksav says, no, we can't, because he says, but when it comes to money changing, we need Danku V'Isser level expertise. We have to be such an expert that there's no room left for you to learn, that there's no possible mistake that could have been made. It must have been a freak thing and an onus, but there's no possible error, culpable error that you could have made. Says the Ksos, that's not shayach when it comes to din. Even experts, even the Chacham of the Shas could occasionally make mistakes, he says. It's possible. Din is, who can say I have nothing left to learn? Who can say I know all there is to know about din, he says. So you're never like Danku v'Isser, and therefore you'd always be chayev in terms of the rules of Aras Sugya. A dayan would always be chayev unless you have the other pturim of kiblu alayu and so on, which is not part of our discussion right now. But the Ksos seems to assume, again, that the requirement for someone who is lo tzrichin l'migmar, who has nothing left to learn, is not limited to din, it's not limited to shulchani, it applies to dayan as well. Would the Ksos disagree with the Chavetz Chaim Sharon? Would he say that even in the case of the sofer, unless he reaches the level where he's a sofer who has nothing left to learn, he's chayev or not? Not so clear. Maybe din, he felt, was like that. Balkalpanim, the Chavetz Chaim Sharon says, if the requirement for Danku v'Isser level expertise is limited to shulchani, does not apply to things like other types of people who provide intellectual services of the mind as opposed to manual dexterity, while the Ksos is willing to at least extend the requirement for Danku v'Isser to cases like din, and in cases of din he says there's no such thing as Danku v'Isser, the Ksos at least is willing to extend it somewhat beyond the case of actual money changing. Now, the Gemara, when it talks about the chiyuv of a shulchani for malpractice, it says, the Gemara brings one of the stories there, it says that the client who asked the shulchani about the dinar, he said, chazi da'alach kasamechna. Note carefully, I'm relying on you, is to make sure you take this seriously. This is a major machlokes rishonim, whether the chiyuv of the shulchani is only if he knew he was being relied upon. Some rishonim say that that's lav dafka, that's just the Gemara mentions that, but you don't need that for the chiyuv. Shita Sarif is that no, that it is dafka, that unless he says chazid alach kasamichna, he's not chayev, because the shulchani can say, I don't know, you're relying on me, I thought you were getting a second opinion, I thought that you just asked for an advisory opinion, I didn't know that my opinion was going to make it or break it. So the Rif says that you're not chayev, the Gemara is bedafka. Tosus says, Tosus brings the riff, but Tosus says that the, Tosus says, it's lavdafi, you don't need that, he says, you chayiv anyway, unless you reach the level of danku v'isser, he brings the riff says you do need that. That's a major machlokas, whether you need chazid alakas amichna. The Nesivus has one line, the Nesivus says that this whole discussion about chazid alakas amichna only applies when you are, that some say that without alakas amichna, you're not chayiv, that's when you roa b'china, when you're not charging. Anytime you charge, then he's pashut, he says, you don't need the lakas amichna. And the Chavetz El-Zasharan, in that same tshuva, explains, because if you're charging, it's understood that he's paying for your opinion. That means he's relying on your opinion. Why would he pay for an opinion that he's not going to rely on? If he's just making conversation, he wouldn't be paying you. He might be paying for two or three opinions, but the Nesivus learns that if you're paying for the opinion, then you're chayiv, even if you don't say chazid the lakas amichna. And that's why in the Chavetz El-Zasharan's case, he says, even without the lakas amichna, the halach would be like the Nesivus, that you'd be chayiv, were not for the reasons we mentioned before, that you potter anyway, because of the svar he says, you have the Rashba, that if you're an Uman Gomer, then even Bishar you potter, and so on. But the Nesivus is an important shita, that you're chayiv, even without the lakas amichna, l'kuli alma, if you gave schar, which again is going to be most real world malpractice cases. Now, there's one last very important point that bridges both these sugyas, and this point has major ramifications la'halacha. What is the chiyuv in both these sugyas? The first sugya of Tabach u'Meshekilkel, the second chiyuv. We discussed earlier why Uman is pater b'chinam, if he's a shochet, why there's no dimat. We had a number of different approaches. But when he's chayev, when it was done b'schar, he's chayev. Shulchani is always chayev. According to some poskim, even b'chinam is chayev. So what is the chiyuv? Is the chiyuv mazik or is the chiyuv shomer? Is he considered a mazik or is he considered a shomer? So the discussion begins with the tvua shar. The tvua shar and a bunch of acharim in Yerodea have a discussion about if a shochet isn't bodik v'sakin. He doesn't check the sakin when he's supposed to, and it turned out the knife had a pegima and it caused damage. Is the shochet chayev, assuming he's a shochet from someone else's animal, is he chayev for the damage to the animal? So the Levush says yes. Even b'chinam, he's chayev. Because he is a pasheya. He's pasheya. He should have checked the knife before he checked it, and he's a mazik. He's a pasheya. Taz disagrees. One of the Taz's argument is that he says you're only a garim. You're considered indirect causation of harm. And there is a type of garim, grub garmi, dina de garmi, for which you're chayev. That's only the post can give various criteria. It has to be bari hazeka. The hezek has to be certain. It has to be miyad. It has to happen immediately. The Taz says, this is not Bari Hazeka, because who said it would be Pogum, and it's not Miyad, it didn't happen right after you failed to check the knife. The Taz says, this does not meet the criteria of Dina Degarmi, and therefore you're Potter because you're a Grum. The Shach says, the Nekudat Zekesef says, no way, what are you talking about, he says. That's Mazik B'Yadayim, you picked up a knife, it turned out it wasn't the proper knife, it had a Pegima, forget not checking. When you took that knife and cut the animal's neck with it, that's Mazik B'Yadayim, you shechted an animal B'Yadayim with a Pogum knife, and it was your fault because you didn't check it. So the Shach says it's actually Mazik B'Yadayim. Says the Tzvua Shar, I disagree. On this point, I think the Taz is correct. It's not Mazik B'Yadayim, he says. It's Shev Al Tasa, you should have checked the knife. This is an interesting machlokas. We're not going to get into it now. Whether not checking the knife is considered Shev Al Tasa, because I didn't check it, or it's B'Yadayim, because taking a knife that's not Baduk and checking it is considered Mazik B'Yadayim. This point is a debate between the Nekudas Zekesef and the Tzvua Shar. We're not going to focus on that. The Tzvua Shar at this point sides with the Taz that this would not be considered Mazik B'Yadayim. Nevertheless, Ladina, he agrees to the Levush that the Shochet is Chayiv nevertheless. Why? L'char, if it's not Mazik B'Yadayim, it's only some form of Grumma. And if it's only Grumma, B'Shev Al Tasa and Grumma, then you need the time of Bari Hazeka and Miyad. So why are you Chayiv? Says the Tzvua Shar, category error. The Chayiv is not because of Mazik, not B'Yadayim, not Grumma. Doesn't meet the criteria for Mazik. The chiyuv is because of a show. You're a shomer, he says. When you have someone else's animal, a shomer is chayiv even begrama, a shomer is chayiv even in such scenarios, he says. He says that you're a shliach and a shomer of the bala behema. You should be looking out for his interest, and you certainly have responsibility. And we don't apply these types of klalim of bari hazeka and biadayim and so on and miad. You're a shomer, and therefore you're chayiv. Says it to Ashar, the chiyuv of the Tabach u'Meshekilkel might be mazik also in some cases, but it goes beyond mazik. Beyond mazik, the chiyuv is as a shomer. So again, Uman is potter when it's bechinam because he's considered an ones, or for the other reasons we gave earlier. But when he took schar, he's chayev. Why is he chayev? According to the Tzvua Shar, one reason he's chayev is because he's a shomer. Even if the laws of mazik do not apply, the laws of shomer apply. But now we go to the Divrei Yecheskel. Divrei Yecheskel has a tzorachian gadol on the Gemara. He says, when it comes to tabach, I understand the chayev is shomer. Like the Tzvua Shar said, I understand the chayev is shomer. But when it comes to maradin l'shulchan, he says, what shomer? What am I a shomer on? How is there shmira here, he says. You showed me a dinar, you asked me if you should take it, I told you yes, it turned out it was a bad dinar. What am I a shomer on? The dinar? The dinar is not worth anything. The dinar was someone else's dinar. I caused you a loss, yes, because you accepted it and you gave goods for it, or you accepted it and agreed to that a debt was considered paid, but there's no shomer here. He says, what am I a shomer on? I don't have any asset of yours that I had custody of that it got damaged. I gave you bad advice and you had a loss, he says. So there's no din shomer b'chlal. So what on earth is the chiyuv? He says, in the case of Maradin L'Shulchan, how is there any chiyuv at all? And he says, it's true, he says, you want to say you're a mazik, he says. But you're pater b'chinam, he says. And he says, if you're pater b'chinam, you're not a mazik, he says. So since you're pater b'chinam, he says, that the chiyuv must be shomer. You're pater b'chinam because you're not a mazik. Either, let's say, like the Riva said, because there's no din mazik when you're osa b'shal acherim, and so on. So there's no din mazik. Why are you chayav b'schar? Because you're a shomer, like the Tzvua Shar said. But if you're a shomer, how on earth does that apply to Maradin L'Shulchani? What possible idea of shmira is there in the case of Maradin L'Shulchani? On what property am I a custodian? What is the mammon that was entrusted to me? He says, you could learn, he says, the chayav is mazik. And when you're potter b'chinam, that's because you're an onus. Like some Rishonim said, you're an onus. And why are you chayav b'schar? Because b'schar, that we mentioned this point earlier, if you're pater b'chinam because you're an ones, because you're a mumchen, and you did your best, and mazal garam, why you chayav b'schar? So once you take money, there's a heightened standard of shmira. He says that you could say that because I gave you money, I expected you to be more careful, and that changes your din from ones to some degree of negligence. That the negligence, as opposed to ones, are not absolute terms. They're measured relative to the context, and if there's no money changing hands, you're considered an ones. If there is money changing hands, you're considered not such an onus, and then you're chayev as a mazik. That makes sense when it comes to tabach, he says. And that makes sense also when it comes to maradin l'shulchani, because you're chayev because you're a mazik. You caused him harm. Dina de garmi maybe, but you're chayev because you caused him harm. Fine. So b'chinam your potter because you're an onus, and b'schar you're chayev, and maradin l'shulchani you're chayev as a mazik. But if he says we follow the shita of the other Rishonim, that there's no din mazik here, like the Ramban and the Riva, that mazik doesn't apply b'chlal because you're osa b'rishus, and the Rambam also implies that the chiyuv, he says here, is shomer and not mazik, he says, and that's what we saw, the Tzvua Shar says shomer also. The Tzvua Shar doesn't say not mazik, but he says also shomer, but there are Rishonim, he says, who would hold the chiyuv is only shomer and not mazik, either because there is no din mazik at all in the case of osa b'rishus, like the Riva, and maybe the Ramban, or because the Rambam is mashma the chiyuv here is shomer. If the chiyuv is shomer, he says, how on earth does that apply to Maradin l'shulchani? What shmira is there by Maradin l'shulchani? He's tzarachin gadol. He says he doesn't have an approach. Avnei Nezer, however, asks the same question. Avnei Nezer also asks, how do you have shomer? He says, well, what is the chiyuv in the case of Maradin l'shulchani? So the Nezer, in the middle of a more elaborate discussion, he says, look, you have the Riva, the same Riva the Divrei Yecheskel brought, that there's no din mazik in this case. Why you chayev, he says. Why you chayev in the case of schar, he says. He says, there's no din mazik at all, even if it's schar. So if it's not mazik, why you chayev, he says. Mukhrach, he says, that you are chayev mishum shomer. In this case, you're chayev mishum shomer, in achinami. There is a din shomer on maradin l'shulchani. There is a din shomer on dayan shatah, he says. These cases, there is a din shomer. He doesn't explain how it could be. He doesn't explain what the shomer is. But he says, if you have an agreement to do a service to somebody else, even though there's no actual property being entrusted, I mean, there was the dinar, but the dinar turned out to be bogus. So you're not chayav for, there's no shomer on the dinar. The dinar is worthless. But nevertheless, if you were asked to do something for somebody else and you don't do it properly, there is a chiyuv shmira here. It's conceptually a little hard to understand, but this is what Avnezer says. There is a din of shmira. The Tzvua Shar was talking about a shochet. But Avnezer says, even when it comes to the intangible situations, like maradin l'shulchani, where there's no physical money you were entrusted that was worth anything, nevertheless, with which you were entrusted, nevertheless, the concept of shmira kicks in, and you're chayev for, even though mazik doesn't apply, you're chayev for shomer. Divrei Cheskel says, Tzarachi and Gadol. Avnezer seems to feel that there is such a thing, there is such a type of shon. And the truth is, we see this as well in the tshuva of the different Malkiel. I believe I heard this many years ago from Rav Chaim Cohen, but the different Malkiel talks about a case of a customer, a client, wanted to buy insurance, fire insurance for his house. He paid the premiums, part of the premiums. He made up with an insurance agent to buy the insurance. The agent would have to register the purchase of the policy, the payment of the premiums with the insurer, the company. The agent failed to do so. The house burned down. The company would not pay out the policy because the forms weren't properly submitted. The policy wasn't properly purchased and registered and paid for. So they're not paying for the house. So he was tovea the money for the loss of his house from the agent. So the different Kiel has a tshuva full of different arguments back and forth as to whether the agent has liability here. Is he a mazik? Is he not a mazik? He didn't cause the loss of the house. The house was burned down anyway. The house would have burned down regardless of whether there was a policy. What he caused was the failure of the client to recoup the cost, to be made whole from the insurance company, by the insurance company. So he says, that's like mevatel kiso. That's not mazik, he says. I stopped you from being able to get money that would have been very useful now that your house burned down. Okay, that's not a mazik, he says. Maybe the chiyav is shomer, he says, but he's a shomer. So maybe I can get him as a shomer. A shomer is chayav even from a batal kiso, he suggests. So maybe that's a discussion of the achronim, whether shomer is chayav from a batal kiso. So the Yom Malkiel discusses, maybe we can say that there's a chiyav of shomer, he suggests. He says that chari yesh ladin mitzad chiyav shmira. However, he says, he argues, and a shomer is chayav for pshia. However, he says that the, even on Migrama, he says, and so on. Maybe even on the Batal Kiso, he says that he brings a raya to that. However, he says, first of all, Yesh Ladun, it's not so pashut, he says, it doesn't explain why, but he says, Gufa Shel Davar Yesh Ladun. Also, he says, in his case, he says he's really the agent of the company, not the agent of the client, so he wouldn't be a shomer. He goes back and forth on that point. Alkalpar and the different Malkiel as well, like the Avnei Nezer, seems to entertain the possibility that when someone commits malpractice, or in the case of the agent, he failed to do his job and register your policy, if he would be your agent and supposed to be working for you and he'd be a shomer of you, we could get him as a shomer. What's he a shomer on? The house? We never accept the shmir of the house. The house is karka anyway. You're not chayav for shomer is generally not chayav for karka. What's he a shomer on? So this sounds very similar to the discussion in the Divrei Yecheskel and Avnei Nezer. Can you be a shomer on an intangible, on a concept? Can you be a shomer? Since you're supposed to be taking care and doing your job correctly and you didn't and you caused me a loss, even though there was no tangible money that you were entrusted with to be shomer, but if you had a job to do and you didn't do it, so the Avnei Nezer and the Divrei Malkiel both suggest that a chiyav shomer would apply, and that could be pshat in the Gemara, Bar Din L'Shulchani. The Divrei Yecheskel says, what does that mean? If there's no money, if there's no chefetz of the shmira, how can you be a shomer? The sinquanon of shmira is there has to be money that was entrusted to your care, property that was entrusted to your care. If there's no property, there's no shmira. So he doesn't understand what that means. But as Rav Chaim Cohen pointed out, we have these achronim, we have the Avnei Nezer, we have the Divrei Malkiel, who do suggest that even when there's no tangible money entrusted to your care, if you have a job to do and you don't do it negligently and you're a pashe, and by not doing it you cause a loss to the owner you cause a loss to the person who commissioned you to do the job, there is the possibility of a chiyav shmira, even if there's no chiyav mazik. There is no chiyav mazik in our case because it's grama or mevatel kiso or so on. In Malkiel's case, because it was in Batal Kiso and so on, he didn't cause the loss of the house. Nevertheless, there is the possibility of a chiyav shmira for which the shomer can be chayav, even if there was no tangible property entrusted to his care, according to the Zachron.